No one needed the balm of religion more than Vincent van Gogh. From childhood, he fixed on the image of Christ as both sorrowing and the comforter of sorrows. This was the image enshrined forever in his imagination by an engraving of Ari Scheffer's Christus Consolator that hung in his father's parsonage throughout his childhood. As far as we know, the first work of art to enter his consciousness. Illustrating a passage from the Bible, "I have come to heal those who are of a broken heart," it became one of the favorite religious images of a 19th century fixated on images of innocent suffering. A radiant but sad Christ sits surrounded by supplicants prostrated by pain, oppression, and despair. He opens his hand to reveal the wounds he received on the cross, a reminder of his own suffering. The message was clear. Suffering brings one closer to God. "Sadness does no harm," wrote Van Gogh's father, the pastor Theodorus, "but makes us see things with a holier eye." In many of the rooms that Van Gogh rented throughout his early life, he hung religious illustrations on almost every wall, image after image, mostly of Jesus, until the whole room was decorated with biblical images and Ecce Homos. A co-worker named Paulus Gerlitz recalled many years later. On almost every image, Van Gogh wrote the same inscription from 2 Corinthians, "Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." At Easter, he surrounded every print of Christ with palm branches. "I was not a pious person," said Gerlitz, who roomed with Van Gogh when they worked together as booksellers in Dordrecht in 1877. "But I was moved when I observed his piety." Gerlitz remembered Van Gogh's telling him, "The Bible is my solace, my support in life. It is the most beautiful book I know." That same year, at the age of 24, Van Gogh moved to Amsterdam, where he set out to become a Dutch Protestant pastor like his father, whom the family called Doris. It was an arduous career choice. Before he could begin any theological studies, he first had to be admitted to a university, and that required years of academic training, including studies in Greek and Latin. Van Gogh was determined to do it in record time. "May God grant me the necessary wisdom to end my studies as early as possible," he wrote with impatience, "so that I can perform the duties of a clergyman." The subject of religion was not included in his preparations for the university entrance exam, but he could not resist it for long. Soon he was studying the Bible straight through yet again, somehow finding time in his busy language studies to make long lists of parables and miracles and arranging them in chronological order, in English and French as well as Dutch. "After all," he explained to Theo, "it is the Bible that is essential." Van Gogh, meanwhile, pursued his language studies with an intensity that exceeded even his usual fervor for new endeavors, applying himself with the tenacity of a dog that gnaws a bone, as he put it. But there were signs of trouble right from the start. The work did not yield readily to Van Gogh's ardor. "It does not come to me so easily and quickly as I could wish," he admitted to Theo, praying for a lightning bolt to restore his conviction. It did not take long for inspiration to strike. During the pivotal summer of 1877, Van Gogh heard a sermon by a Dutch Reformed minister named Eliza Loriard on the parable of the sower, and it showed him how he might combine the great consuming passion of his life, family reconciliation through religion, and the great consoling preoccupation of his life, art. "Jesus walked in the newly sown field," Loriard began. Using simple, vivid imagery, he portrayed a Christ not only embodied in nature, but also intimately connected with the processes of nature: plowing, sowing, reaping, and inseparable from the beauty of the natural world. Other preachers, including Van Gogh's father, had declared the divineness of nature. But Loriard went further. Finding beauty in nature was not just one way of knowing God, he proposed. It was the only way. And those who could see that beauty and express it, writers, musicians, artists, were God's truest intermediaries. This was an electrifying new ideal of art and artists. Before, art had always served religion, from the ubiquitous emblem books that taught children moral lessons to the devotional prints that hung in every one of Van Gogh's rooms. But Lorillard preached a religion of beauty, in which God is nature, nature is beauty, art is worship, and artists are preachers. In short, art is religion. He made a deep impression on me, Van Gogh wrote, as he returned again and again to hear Lorillard preach. It is as if he paints, and his work is at the same time high and noble art.